foolish. Maybe I'm blind, thinking I can see through this and see what's behind. Got no way to prove it, so maybe I'm lying. But I'm only human.
Welcome back to Pop Culture Failure, where we watch a thing from pop
from
culture
a time.
And see, you know, if it's a failure or not.
It is always, usually.
I'm Sky.
I'm Jake.
And we're watching the Marvel's Inhumans. Disney's Marvel's The Inhumans.
Does it have to be Marvel's Inhumans so we don't confuse it with the regular Inhumans?
Well, there's so many Inhumans.
That's because, like, they put Marvel's The Avengers, I think, to keep us getting confused from the
Justice
British,
League?
The British no. Avengers.
We should watch that movie.
No.
Okay. What's the,
that was easy.
You know the name of this episode?
Divide and Conquer.
Divide and Conquer. They're already divided.
They
were divided episode one.
Yeah,
this
they
is
start
three.
The whole thing divided. So no one conquers.
No.
Well, I mean, I guess someone tries to, but...
Yeah, not a lot happens in this episode, if
well,
you can believe it.
It's episode three. It's filler. We're just going to be sad about it.
So, as we last left our heroes, Karnak fell down, Medusa got her head shaved, and then she killed the lady. But that lady ended up being fine, and Black Bolt got arrested.
And Gorgon
Crystal is just fine, sitting in her apartment.
And Gorgon's hanging out with some surfers.
That's right. Some
having hooves.
Some surfer dudes.
It's broing down.
It's true. He did have a beer. They are, in fact, having a bro down.
It was probably his first beer ever.
I don't think so, because they had some sort of booze that they mentioned.
It was probably mead. That's probably what they drink, is mead.
Fermented honey milk?
Yeah. That's the one.
That's what meat is. So we open up, and there's some guy that we've never seen before walking out of a building.
I hope we
in
don't
some place.
I hope we don't get to the end of the episode and not find out who he is.
Well, his name is Mr. Declan, or
it's
Dr. Declan.
His parents didn't pay for all that college for him not to be called a doc.
Some dude with a nice beard runs out after him with a tablet, and he shows him footage of Black Bolt flipping a car.
Everyone in the show has seen that footage now.
It's the. I don't, everybody has that exact same clip from the exact same angle, but whatevs. It's fine. So Declan decides, I'm going to go to Hawaii. What does that mean? No way to know.
We'll find out.
So we cut over to...
Like right now.
Some Hawaiian prison.
His name is Sammy?
Some guy with curly hair. I never caught this dude's name.
No, it just said Sammy. His name is Sammy.
Oh, is it? Good. I was going to call him Hot Hands.
You don't know anyone's name
no.
in anything, do you?
It's real difficult to pick up because I don't care a lot. But Declan is talking to Hot Hands, and he asks him for help.
Sammy. Old Sammy Hot Hands. You're also, again, just spoiling things at the end. We don't know he has hot hands yet.
Yeah, it could just be a nickname I made up for him. Now you're the spoiler.
I'll slap you.
We get the moment. The credits are very short. It's like
refreshing.
2 seconds. Yeah, we just see all of the famous symbols for all of our favorite Inhumans. You know, the circle. And such.
Some of those, I wonder if are even those are their symbols, or they just made it up. Like,
I think they just needed it for this show.
Yeah, I was gonna say, there's no way Karnaks are just those squiggly lines.
Yeah, the pointy things that make his face tattoos. So, when we come back, Black Bolt's just remembering being a kid when he could still talk, and he's saying how he doesn't want to be king, and Max continually insists that he does want to be king, and if Black Bolt dies, I get to be king, right? That's how that works.
Just like the Lion King.
And I don't know, Dad, he doesn't get a name.
Mr.
Previous
Bolt
King
God.
Black. Mr. Bolt's God is my father. He was just like, nobody's going to die. We're at peace. Who are they warring with? Who have they ever had a war with?
The people on the other side of the moon that the X-Men hung out with during Black Phoenix.
That was just a
Dark
I
Phoenix,
suppose.
I mean.
It was just a ruined city. And the X-Men don't exist in this world.
Yet.
Don't exist in this world yet.
I went back and listened to the first episode, though, and the amount of different ways we say Adeline is really funny.
It was unclear. It's a word that we've only seen in print, and now people are saying it, and I don't know how to say it.
I know, even after they said it a bunch of times, it's hard to remember.
It is.
It's
I still don't remember.
It's Adeline.
Okay. So, Black Bolt comes back from his flashback. And there's some lady outside. It's the lady from Fake NASA, which ends up being Fake Virgin Spaceways.
Callisto Airspace.
And she's trying to get in to see Black Bolt using her laminate from her job as though she thinks that has anything to do with anything. With
Is
the
this just like a fake, like SpaceX type corporation? Like,
yeah, it's like
the MCU's... Elon Musk? I mean, I guess the
no,
MCU's Elon Musk is just Iron Man.
No, this guy says that there's some rich billionaire trying to make a hotel on the moon. And apparently she doesn't work for Space NASA or pretend NASA at all. She just works for some rich guy.
Yeah, which is what I think that whatever it's called is, right? Callista Space or Callista Air.
Yeah. But he tells her to get lost, and she kind of does. And then I guess he's the warden, and he wanders up to see Black Bolt. And he decides that he's going into general population to teach him a lesson or something. I don't super understand why he's so hostile at this guy.
Because people get beat up easier there.
Well, yeah, but why does he want him beat up?
Because they seem to think that he hurt a bunch of cops, even though he, like, put one in handcuffs, and that's all we saw. I mean, I guess he, like, punched those other ones that were trying to punch him.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, he fought some cops, but I don't think he, like, hurt any cops.
Yeah, that was only after they beat him with, like, nightsticks and such. It was more self-defense than it was him attacking them. I realize that distinction is probably lost on these people, but, you know, whatevs. So, we cut over to Medusa, who has gotten away from her tour group, and she finds an ATM and asks for money. Does the Queen of Adelin need to walk around with money?
Not usually.
She knows what it is.
It's weird that she would even know what it is. Their society doesn't seem to have any need for money.
No. I don't know how that works at all.
She seems to have a pretty good grasp on what happens on Earth. I mean, maybe
for never being there.
Maybe they study Earth.
I don't know.
They've got that guy who projects things that happened on Earth.
Well, project your head.
Yeah, old shiny eyes, they call him.
The ATM does not give her money. We cut over to where Gorgon is, and he's leading the surf dudes around.
Because the surfer guys are soldiers.
No, they used to be soldiers.
This guy wants a soldier, always a soldier.
That's true. He says it. They're just stalking around the jungle with crossbows and rifles that they still have.
I mean, Sky, they do live in America.
Fair enough.
This is an America, though, in the MCU where I think maybe it's okay to have a semi-automatic weapon because, you know, fucking Chitauri show up and stuff and people can steal brains.
That's fair. That's a way more legitimate reason than I use it for self-defense this world. Against what, dude?
You're in case the mailman gets too close to my house. Fire a couple in the air.
So Gorgon tells one of the guys, one of these unnamed guys.
His name is Ponytails Magoo.
Oh, okay. He tells him they're going to be superior beings because I trained them and they're inhumans and they probably have superpowers, but we won't see them. And he's like, well, whatever. I'm going to shoot him. So, okay, sound argument.
It's a sound argument, but it goes on for a while.
Mm-hmm. This gentleman, like the surf dude, asks who he fights for. He's like, my king. He's like, well, Hawaii had a king once, but then the mainlanders came over and took it from us. So I'll fight for you in a memory of my king. So that's a real far stretch, guys.
Yeah. Because it's not like Hawaii had a king in that man's lifetime.
No.
I mean, I'm sure it hasn't been that long, actually, since Hawaii was, you know, stolen by us. But
not us specifically, yes.
No, but
we went there ourselves.
You and I.
And we took it for the nation.
Yeah, welcome to Pop Culture Failure, the official podcast of our country, Hawaii.
We cut back to the moon, and Crystal is just hanging out in her apartment, listening to her headphones.
Do you know what she's listening to, Sky? She's listening to
Shake It Off.
I was going to say an episode
Blinded
of
by the Light.
Pop Culture Failure.
No.
Because she loves podcasts.
That could
and
be.
She loves specifically our podcast about turtles and this show.
Maximus shows up. He has another proposition for her, and it's not him trying to bang her this time. He hands her a piece of paper and has a speech that he wants her to make.
We don't know that it doesn't have a picture of his dick drawn on it, though.
That's fair, or at least like a tracing.
Seems like a move he'd make.
It really does.
I traced my dick
when you say that. It really does.
It would be so hard to trace your own dick.
What's this wandering line through all these words? Oh, you'll find out eventually.
Yeah, that's my inhuman power.
My dick is inhuman.
Wah, wah.
Gross.
Wait, no, he'd be like, do you want to bang me and let my dick be inhuman? Because you're human or something? Is that a joke?
It doesn't super work because it would be in an inhuman.
Yeah.
What he should ask is, do you want a little human in you?
Yeah, he wants to go to Earth so he can be inhuman. That's why.
Yes, there it is. We did it.
Edit that so it sounds like we figured it out from the get-go.
Nah. Max is making the argument of, I'm trying to save everything, except he's trying to trick her into admitting that he's the king to legitimize it. It's like, you've already taken over, man. Everybody, like, the general masses preferred you to what was happening. You don't need to convince them further. And the genetic council, you can just have murdered or whatever.
You already threatened to. That's why they're on your team.
I don't know. His plans aren't great. Crystal eventually agrees, and Max heads out, and he contacts Auryn, who's on Earth, not finding anybody, really.
It's a big island.
I guess she did just come back from the dead, so I'll cut her some slack.
She's got a hole in her shirt. There's a breeze. It's cold.
Also had some holes in her torso.
Whoa.
You know, stab wounds. Apparently, she didn't check in with him because he's just now giving her orders to go and find Gorgon, and she doesn't want to face him alone because he's got that stompy power. And Max tells her, I'm going to send you some reinforcements and Mortis. She says no because she's not able to control him. He's just death. He's like, yeah, I'm going to do it anyway, though. So deal. There's such a weird choice of storytelling where it's like, they're not going to tell and assume that we remember the past that they made up. You gotta give us something, guys.
I'm not sure what you're talking about, but I believe you.
They're pretending to have this deep, rich history, and they did nothing to show us any of it. So, like, we're gonna send Mortis, and it's supposed to strike fear in our hearts, but we don't know who that is.
Well, I mean, we will in a second. They're gonna open this door.
I guess. So Ulysses comes with Max, and they go to Mortis's door, and Max asks him, "Is there danger on the other side of this?" He's like, I don't know. It's not how my power works.
I don't think that's how my power works.
I barely have control over it.
Also, I don't know if you know, but it's super metaphorical when it happens.
But they open the door anyway, and then this dude wearing a metal mask with yellow glowing eyes.
He looks like something out of American Horror Story, but not one of the good seasons.
Yeah, it looks like his...
He looks like he would stand in the background of Hellboy somewhere.
Yeah, he does. He bears a resemblance to that clock guy.
Yeah, he's full of sand.
But he's just standing in this open room. Apparently he was in prison there. What else do you suppose they have buried underneath the castle?
Oh, probably lots of...
Plot convenient stuff?
Yeah, and treasure. And a lot of square bowls. I'll try and get me some square bowls, I think. Tomorrow's Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday. In observance of him, I'm going to eat everything out of a square bowl.
I don't know what that has to do with anything, but okay.
I don't know what anything has to do with anything.
We have an act break, and when we come back, that's why we were vamping there. When we come back,
we're just having a Auryn casual convo.
Is still standing in front of this empty airplane hangar.
Hawaii,
I don't understand the geography.
Is based on the first two episodes of this.
And Lilo and Stitch.
Weird. Oh yeah, and Lilo and Stitch, right.
But good old Eldrak sends the reinforcements of five different people. One of them is Mortis. He looks real silly in the daylight.
Yeah, one of them's Mortis and one can control plants, and that's all I caught that could happen.
Yeah, no, they don't get names, but that's fine. So apparently Mortis and what's-her-face Auryn have a history.
I think they're former lovers is what I've gathered.
Maybe. Neither is happy to see the either. Neither is happy to see the other. There we. I don't know.
And I'm not that, happy but to see phrased correctly.
And they're just like, all right, let's go. Meanwhile, we cut over to Karnak, who is stumbling through the jungle again. He decided to get up from his home at the base of that tree, marked with his head blood. And you'll notice, as he's walking up, he's walking through a field of marijuana plants.
I can't believe he didn't get poisoned sumac before he got that far,
Yeah. So he wanders up to this house, and a dude with an AK just dangling from his waist and a machete on his back, he does not, you know, clock as a threat. He just walks right up, and he's like, hey, can I have some help? The guy pulls a knife on him, and then he's like, And then some other guy pops out and puts a machete to his neck.
These pot farmers, like, the people don't come off as threatening or realistic at all. Like, they don't seem like people who would threaten to kill people or even have a farm, let alone...
Well, they do establish a couple of things later on in the episode that makes that make more sense. But we'll get to that.
Tell me when we get there.
Yeah. So we jump over to the prison where Black Bolt is being led through the prison, and the curly-haired fella who we saw earlier makes a vague threat, wanting some playtime with Black Bolt.
And the guard that's where the guard that's leading him, Black Bolt, through is like, my brother-in-law was in that car, or got hurt by that cop car you flipped, even though there was no one in that cop car and there was no one standing near it.
Nope. We all saw it flip. I bet it was pretty cool to see.
Yeah, to watch it flip three times. Because it flipped like flip 80 times and then reset.
Until you got 80 flips? Yeah.
Sky, how do you know that the inhuman who controls, which one's the one that controls flowers and plants?
Well, we jump over to the jungle while they're trying to sneak up on Gorgon. Please keep that in mind. Mortis asks one of them to clear a path because he's tired of walking through the jungle.
And but how do we know which one likes plants?
Oh, she's got a flower in her hair.
Yeah, that's how you know.
And then she just levels a direct path through the forest for them. You know, quietly.
Yep.
It's ridiculous.
You wouldn't think someone who loves plants would just knock them down like that.
Well, there's probably only like 6 plants on the moon, so...
She does say there are a lot more plants than she thought possible or something.
This is my favorite part in this stupid episode. So Medusa, we cut over to Medusa, and she's just strolling through this really nice neighborhood. And she happens upon this mini mansion. Somebody in a Mercedes pulls out, and then she just slips in through the gate. This house has no walls and no doors.
It has the outer
walls.
It
has lots of cash.
Sky doesn't understand open concept because he does not watch as much HGTV as I do.
It's a lovely home. It has fountains and nice open spaces. But I feel like if you're living on an island, particularly a small island, you ought to have a door or a wall to keep the sea breezes out because you're going to get hit by a hurricane eventually.
Sky, there's probably doors that come down out of the wall that most of the time don't have to be there because it's beautiful constantly.
Sure.
We live in
a place, but we don't see that.
We live in... No, Sky, it's architecture.
Birds are going to get in.
Yeah, that'd be... Fuck it. Fuck that. We live in a place where if you leave any part of your house exposed for any amount of time in any part of the year, something terrible will happen to you.
Bats. Birds.
Owls.
Water.
Just,
wolves.
There's just what people have you? Hanging out in here. We were cold.
Oh, okay. So she spends her time. Yeah, she lays down on the bed, and because she's still wearing her her Inhumans dress from the moon, looking very conspicuous. So she just wanders around this house, kind of just taking whatever she feels like, which I guess would be a royalty kind of thing to do.
Right. But just the way she like walks around this house, though, very confidently, as if she understands this house.
Yeah.
Like she understands human houses and all the things in it.
I mean, Crystal's apartment isn't super different from the way this is laid out.
I guess that's true.
But still, she just picks up a bunch of clothes like she's shopping. Luckily, this lady has her exact size. She wanders around and finds like a jewelry box with rolls of cash in it. So she's got money now because she recognizes cash because
she saw
reasons.
She saw that man take money out of the ATM, which still doesn't make sense that she recognized it as money.
Yeah. And she knows her way around the kitchen, even though there are hidden cabinets she's pulling shit out of. She thinks ahead enough to steal a purse and throw food in it.
She also must watch HGTV. And then she sees Black
Is Bull. That how she knows? Okay.
Yeah. She sees Black Bull on the newspaper, which is fine. That doesn't bother me. But why is there a bowl not... It's got, like, spaghetti or something in it. And why is it not in the sink? Goddamn.
I don't know. Why would the newspaper print exactly where he was incarcerated?
Because that's what newspapers do.
But, like, he's been under arrest for, like, an hour. Like, he wouldn't have been placed into a prison yet. He would still be at, the county jail.
Sky, we've been over this. Things happen fast in Hawaii, because nothing's going on. It's just tourists being cool.
I mean, it just seems like he should have had a trial. I guess those are human rights, though.
Yeah, that's true. And I would assume he did.
It's real fast to get a trial together.
I mean, the judge was already there. Black Bolt was there. Meanwhile, at the pot farm.
Yeah, so they tied up Karnak. He apparently took a pacifist, I don't know what the word I'm looking for, approach.
In that situation?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the man had a knife to his throat.
True, but, and his confidence has been shaken.
Yeah, and plus he hit his head and he's probably really tired and hasn't had anything to eat in a minute.
Yeah. It's just not his day.
Yeah, but they're all upset because they're like, this watch is, like, cop tech.
Apparently they think the Hawaiian police.
They think he's a fucking narc. That's what they think.
Yeah, well, he also has face tattoos. They're like, he can't be a cop. He has face tattoos.
Or he's an undercover cop.
Deep cover. But there's marijuana plants all over the place. There's two dudes and a lady. The dudes have guns and knives, and she's just standing there in her lovely white button-up. They just, you know, they think that he's from a cartel. You know, the famous Hawaiian marijuana cartels. They've apparently started this as a business venture. Stupid kids. They sunk all of their money into growing an acre of marijuana.
Is this the point where they call it ganja, or was that earlier?
Yes, they call it ganja.
Fuck them.
And then the jumpy one is like, we need to kill him! And the other two are like, what? No. We're not... What? No. And then we cut back to the prison. Black Bolt is being led somewhere.
He's being led to his cell?
No, I think he's being... Yeah, he's going over to Sammy Hot Hands, his cell.
Which I think is his cell, too?
Is it?
I don't know. There seems to only be one bed.
Sammy recognizes Black Bolt as an inhuman immediately. So how'd you get your abilities? And then he goes through the standard Marvel tropes of getting superpowers. Did you get bit by a bug? You know, radiation.
And he acknowledges that, like, what did you do, wake up covered in some rocks and stuff? Yeah. So they acknowledge that happens, even though when we watch Terra Genesis happen earlier in the show, that's not what happened.
Precisely.
Because when he mentions getting waking up covered in rocks, Black Bolt is like, hey.
That's a thing that happens
to humans. That is an inhuman-y thing. You'd really think that the agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. that dealt with all of these Inhumans would, like, take an interest in this, especially since it's on all the newspapers and TV.
You would think.
Yeah. And also, they got Patton Oswalt, like, doing surveillance-y stuff for them.
Yeah.
Oh, they have several Patton Oswalts, actually.
Yeah, well, one of them's down.
Yeah, but there are, like, five of them, aren't there?
Yeah. Sammy was characterized, like, they were trying to sell us on him just being there to attack Black Bolt, but instead they're best friends right away.
Well, I mean, something like inhumaning really brings two people together.
I guess so.
That's why we're friends, because you're not human.
Robot.
He's a robot in disguise. He's wearing a Halloween mask right now.
So we cut back to the jungle, where Auron and her team are still just wandering through, searching pretty aimlessly, though Auron does have a tablet that's homing in on Gorgon's wrist thingy.
There's a lot of this show that's just walking through the jungle. Yep. And, like, I imagine they walk one way, and then they just flip the camera around, and then they walk a different direction.
Well, I'm pretty sure it was Peter Jackson who co-directed this.
Is that what Peter Jackson did?
Isn't he the guy who did Lord of the Rings?
Yeah, but he had all of New Zealand.
Well, this is all of Hawaii.
No, it's not even.
It's a soundstage somewhere.
I mean, no, it's on Hawaii, but it's not all of Hawaii. It's just one of the many beautiful islands.
So, Gorgon left his bracelet in some house that they happened on. The plan is everybody gets in a tree, Gorgon's going to run and fight them on the ground, and they're going to shoot them in the air, because they climbed up trees and they tied themselves to them. That's a terrible decision. Like, sure, you have the high ground, but that's good for, like, a spontaneous attack, and then not at all for the rest of the fight.
Well, that's why they have those ropes, so they can slide down. They just don't do it. They dumb.
That's fair. So one of the Inhumans on Auron's team can, like, shoot bees out of his mouth or something?
I think he's the dinosaur from Jurassic Park that gets Newman.
Oh, okay. A Dilophosaurus?
Sure.
I'm pretty sure that's it.
A Dilophosaurus?
Yes. Waffle-saurus. He's delicious. They're susceptible to syrup. That's what they spray out of their mouth. So Auron and Gorgon are doing some fisticuffs. The other Inhumans are trying to take down the surfer dudes. One of them does, like, some lightning hands, but he gets a shot in the chest with an arrow and goes down.
One of the Inhumans, not one of the surfers.
Yeah. Well, one of the surfers
is an Inhuman.
Gets shot with, like, the bees or the something.
Yeah, falls down with dead. The waffle sauce.
That's right. Gorgon does the ground stompy thing. All of the attackers go down, and he and the surfer dudes.
You also escape. Forgot to say that Mortis shot things from his eyes.
Oh, yeah. Turns out Mortis has a giant laser face.
Yeah.
We don't, like,
is he lifts, it from his eyes or is it from his whole face?
I think it's his whole face, because he lifts up that mask and you don't see any part of his face.
That's why I asked if he was Inhuman Zorn, because isn't there, like, a star behind Zorn's face or something?
Or Zorn, I don't know. Which Zorn? One of them's real and one of them's Magneto.
The one that's not Magneto? He's Chamber. He's Inhuman Chamber.
That's closer. Instead of a scarf, he's got a metal mask.
Yeah.
Gorgon picks up the dead guy super awkwardly. And they run away.
It's one of those, like, weird, like, his hands aren't, like, touching him. It's, like, cupped weird, so he doesn't accidentally touch him, because that'd be gay. And Gorgon has too much testosterone for that shit.
He's half bull or something.
I don't think there's...
The lower half.
There's not enough people on the moon for some of them not to be gay. Wait, did that make sense?
I don't know.
I was just saying there's no reason...
That's what you were trying to say.
There's no reason for them to not be gay on the moon, is what I'm saying.
Okay. I don't know. It's a pretty diverse culture.
Yeah, and they're very unaccepting. So
it's very
peculiar. No one's at least openly gay because they'll have to go dig out a mine for being different.
Apparently, the whole society depends on them digging in the mines.
Yeah.
We'll find that out later.
Fucking Inhumans make us look like we got our shit together.
We cut to commercial and we cut. That's why we were babbling again. We'll cut back.
Sky, can't we just have a conversation?
No.
Oh.
Karnak is still tied to the pillar in this tent. And the girl comes in and she has a med kit. And she starts cleaning up his head wound. Because it's been, I don't know, 24 hours, and he's just had an open head wound for that entire time. And somehow it hasn't gotten infected already. She wants to prevent that because she's nice.
Well, he's an Inhuman. I don't know what that has to do. I thought maybe it was make it better. It was make it better.
Well spoken, Jacob.
Yeah, well, you know, you said, who can I get to speak real good on this thing?
And I know, my friend who went to school to talk at people.
Yeah, and then all those people who are good at talking were busy, so you got me.
Yep.
Just talk about what's happening on the TV. Look, it's Karnak, he's talking about a bunch of shit.
Oh, we find out the origin of his stupid face tattoos.
He was a teenager who wasn't... didn't see the consequences?
Yeah, it was I'm guessing, like, he's trying to say he did it before Terra Genesis and he could see the outcome of everything. But he's just it was just a dumb decision that he made as a kid when he was stupid.
I mean, every decision you make before you're 25 is stupid.
It's true. I always thought that they were some sort of mark of accomplishment for him.
Nope, just stupidity.
Yeah,
he's just a dumb kid. Does comic book...
Karnak
have those?
I don't know. I think so.
Comic book Karnak does have a bunch of tattoos, but I think they're better than that.
I miss his stupid green egg hat. He had an egg hat for a while.
I'm going to look at pictures of Karnak. You continue to talk.
Well, Karnak explains to this lady. He opens up to her immediately because he's spooked because he can't see the outcomes of stuff. He's like, I can't help my family like this, so I'm going to stay here and be a pot farmer with you guys if that's cool. And she takes that proposition back to the guys.
Karnak is also a lot more threatening looking on the comics.
With his hoodie or with the egg hat?
Hoodie.
Okay.
He does have a good egg hat.
He does. From the jungle, we cut to the city where the lady from not NASA is in front of the prison, I guess.
And just hanging out.
The warden comes out to say, you gotta move along. You can't wait here. Because it's very suspicious. She's doing research somehow. Like, she notices Black Bolt's ring, and apparently that means something to her. But I don't know what or how.
It has the squiggles of inhumanity.
Yeah.
Which is also, I think, on his jacket. Maybe she's just putting those together.
Right, but that doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, I don't know.
But we go inside the prison, and the guards come to collect Sammy Hothands.
And they say that they're going to have a talk, and then they leave with him, right?
Yep, and they collect Black Bolt as well, because it's time for exercise at night. Apparently, there's outdoor time at night, which seems like a really poor choice.
It's winter. I don't think it works like that in Hawaii, where it gets dark at like 2:30, like it does here.
I don't think so. But that's fine.
Meanwhile, on the moon!
We got Max with the Genetic Council, and Ulysses at his left. What's Ulysses' real name in the show?
Brohim. I can say it when we're not saying it wrong.
I don't know.
Bronja. Bronja?
Ulysses. Max tells the Genetic Council, I'm abolishing the caste Simpson. I'm abolishing the caste system. To which he responds, it'll throw all of our society into
But sir, chaos. Who will make the spaghetti bolognese?
Who's gonna dig in the mines?
It's sir, like, well, who will wash our boots? But sir, who will make the hats? But sir, who will fill all the balloons with helium?
The helium Inhuman.
Yeah.
They're putting up an argument, so Max calls in Crystal. She wants to know where her dog is immediately.
At some point, I don't think, maybe it's not right now, but they call her, your first word is the princess a lot. And I don't think she's a princess, is she?
I don't know how that works.
If you're the sister of the queen who married into it, I don't think that makes you a princess.
Unless she comes from a separate royal family.
Oh.
I genuinely don't understand their dynamic. They do nothing to explain it. So okay. I can't help you.
That's fair. But yeah, she's like, let me see my damn dog.
And he says he's heavily sedated and it wouldn't look good. She's like, well, he's always by my side. He's like, yeah, well, they don't want a drug dog either.
Which is fair.
A big stumbly drunk dog. If he falls down, you're never moving him.
Yeah, or if he falls on someone. Otis could barely sit up after his ball surgery. And he's not, I mean, he's a big dog, but he's not the size of a little car.
Yeah, but a deadweight dog, you're never going to move.
No, look.
For those of us at home, Jake was lifting up the dog's paw and dropping it. Crystal comes out with her paper, and she starts reading it.
I like that they still have paper.
But no trees. She reads, "Maximus is king." And then she turns and looks him in the eye and says, "Of no one!"
He's the king of his own domain. Give him
And that. Then she freezes a couple of the guards, and she finally does stuff!
Yeah, it was Yay! Like she did what we wanted her to do.
The whole time, we're just like, "Hey, why don't you do a thing?" And then she's finally doing a thing. It's pretty
neat. And then,
you flash back.
Yeah, Max remembers some stuff. Oh, well, he remembers when the old genetic council guy tells him that he could never be king.
Yeah, because he's a human.
Yeah, because he's not an inhuman. He's a human.
Just a regular old useless human.
Just like Sky.
That's right. And all humans, really.
We're just a bunch of...
Hurts a bunch.
We're just a bunch of dummies waiting to die.
Yeah.
None of us can shoot shit out of our face, or dig with our claw hands, or... Or see into the future, or be a teleporting door.
Or accidentally kill our parents with our voice.
Well, let's not go too far.
But he remembers the disappointment he felt at that moment, and then he crystal freezes some dudes and runs, and he uses this moment to emphasize that I'm here taking care of my responsibilities, even though I'm not a human, an inhuman, while the royal family runs away from it.
Do you know how many people are, like... grow up knowing they're never going to be king?
I would say like 99.9% of humanity.
And they don't turn into a little bitch like Max, but...
Well, most of the population doesn't have the opportunity either.
Neither does he, because he's a fucking human.
Yeah, but he wanted to be king ever since he thought he could be king.
Yeah.
Which is his whole life.
Which but Crystal finds the dog. Which is weird, because he's the younger brother.
Yeah. Fucking... Well, he was constantly asking, if this one dies, I get to be king, right?
Yeah.
Crystal finds the bowl room where Lockjaw's being contained. There's no guards on the door or in the room with the dog.
Well, he's a sleepy dog. What do you need a guard for?
Well, sure. But, like, why not have a person there? Whatever. She just bursts right in, she freezes the door shut, and then she can't wake him up, so she electrocutes him a little bit.
She electrocutes him awake.
She zaps him right in the forehead.
Yeah, right.
So we see his tuning fork light up.
And right then, in the old tuning fork.
And then the dog gets up and they teleport away. We come back and Karnak is still tied to the post. The jumpy guy.
He spent most of this episode tied to a post.
Sure did. Jumpy guy comes in with a knife drawn, which seems like a needlessly aggressive way to come in.
That's the only way to do it.
We made a vote, or we took a vote, and he walks behind Karnak, and Karnak is prepared to die, and he starts yelling, "I died in the name of the king!" But instead, the guy just cuts his binds, and he's like, "Yeah, you can stay, it's fine."
I hope I have the wherewithal to yell something before I die. Like, whatever it happens to be. Meanwhile, back at the prison.
Black Bolt is being let out into the general population. For some reason, exercise time is at night, which seems like a really poor choice, but whatever. I don't run the prison. And the guards kind of just shove him into the population. Everybody looks at him.
And then Sammy's out there, even though... Sammy left the same time he did, and they said they were going to go have a chat.
Maybe they just stabbed him and sent him on his way.
Ah, yeah.
And that's why he's running so weird the rest of the time.
I think that's just because he's chubby. So then a big guy talks tough at him.
But I guess he approves of him flipping a cop car or something?
He beat up cops, and this guy hates cops because he's a criminal.
That tracks. So they hug him, and everything's fine. But the guards aren't having that, so they come over. And, like, knock some barbells down and, like, pick them up. And they hit him for no reason. I don't know. It's a real dumb thing.
Yeah.
But this starts a prison riot, you know, like you'll have.
Yeah, but the main guard gets a basketball thrown at his head, which I didn't notice the first time.
Well, he's being a dick. So the rest of the guards come out with shotguns and whatnot. And somehow Black Bolt and Sammy, they make their way through the tear gas.
Well, Black Bolt does a bunch of beating up.
Well, I had missed this part.
Because you're probably blowing your fucking nose.
Could be. They make their way out of the yard and into the warehouse that the prison is.
I think that's just how prisons look.
That could be.
But yeah, they make their escape.
They run into no resistance. They just end up in the garage, and Sam is just leading him to, like, this metal door. He has, instead of, like, trying to find the door, like, raise switch or button or whatever, he just places his hands against the metal door and they start glowing with heat.
That's how we could show him he was an inhuman too, Sky.
Yeah. That's why I was going to call him Hot Hands.
Yeah, but his hands are hot. His name's Sammy. I'm an inhuman and my name is Sammy.
He fell asleep one day and he woke up and he was inside of a cocoon. And then he accidentally burned his house down and killed his whole family.
Which I guess is why he's in prison.
Probably.
Well, because when he talks to that Declan guy earlier, he said that Declan guy says, I know what happened to you. You didn't do it on purpose. I can help you fix that.
I don't know.
Black Bolt remembers.
Yeah, he is remembering not being able to talk. Though I was pretty sure the initial him learning about his abilities was him killing his parents. But here, the genetic council guy is like, he can't speak anymore.
I don't think that was his initial learning of them. I think that was just the first time he murdered someone with them.
But his word...
He says, why?
Yeah. It's as though they were sending him to his room.
Yeah, they were probably just in some regular argument. It doesn't necessarily have anything to do with being a king.
And it just set in at that exact moment. Because here he's just, like, how do they know that his voice is going to kill everybody? Because, like, he's not saying anything and he's covering his mouth, but how does he know the destructive capacity?
Because they did testing. They probably had him look off into the ether and yell. And they said the longer it goes, the harder or the worse it gets.
But, like, what... I don't know. The timeline just seems weird to me. If they did a test and he knows how destructive his voice is, he wouldn't have said anything at all and killed his parents.
Yeah, except you're used to talking. You've been talking for the last 13 years or whatever it is. then you forget and you're mad and you're a teenager and teenagers are fucking terrible. And he just goes, but what? And then everyone's dead.
Whatever. Sammy Hothands manages to melt the door.
That's why it's so... That's why Max is upset that they're dead, because... it's not that he learned that he had powers, it's that he knew he had those powers and he accidentally spoke and killed them.
I guess.
What?
they get out, and then there's a helicopter with that Dr. Declan fella. Also, Medusa pulls up in a cab at that exact moment. The cab driver does not give a shit about the woman getting dropped off at the prison at night, who has a gun, who takes out the guard. What's-her-face from Not NASA is Louise. Also still there. Louise, thank you. I'm not invested in these characters, so I can't keep their names in my head.
Yeah, but we have a podcast. You should pay attention.
I'm describing them adequately.
You know, the lady, and then the other lady sees the lady do the thing, and then helicopter.
I described them better than that. Sammy and Black Bolt just hop into the helicopter because the guy said it was okay.
I mean, it seems like their best bet at that
I mean, point. I guess...
I mean, I guess
that are staying in prison.
If they had run a little bit the other way, Medusa had just opened a door.
Yep, with her space gun, and Louise just followed her in.
I think that was the gun from the guard she knocked out.
Oh, it is.
Okay,
it's still a space gun.
No, it's not. It's a regular gun.
It's from space. It shoots laser blasts.
I think it's just a regular gun.
No, it's a space gun. That's from not the guard. It's from Aurora.
Is it?
Yeah.
All right.
She takes it at the end of the previous episode. After she stabs her.
You're knowing what's going on and knowing people's names track record doesn't give me the most confidence.
No, it's a space gun. If you reverse it, if you want, you can watch her shoot the gate.
No, I don't give a single fuck.
Fair enough.
Listen, Sky, we're almost done with this one, and then there are only five more.
Woo!
Then it's on to something good.
Well,
something shorter per episode.
When we come back, we are in the jungle.
In the jungle, Hawaiian jungle, Crystal has a dog.
Yeah, so Crystal and Lacha land in the Hawaiian jungle.
He is sleeping here.
And he's still dazed, so he just kind of collapses because teleporting is probably exhausting.
It must be.
So there's a guy doing some nighttime ATV driving, and he crashes into Lockjaw.
The dog makes a terrible sound, and the guy flips off of it.
Yep.
It's ridiculous.
Yep. And then Crystal looks at him in angst, and I think that's the episode.
And then, yeah, it's over. The poor dog got hit by an ATV.
Because they need a reason to keep him out of the story, yeah. So they don't have to animate a dog.
And it like the things would go too well for them if the dog if they yeah. had that dog, like, who knew the best member of their team was the dog?
Certainly the most useful.
Yeah. So now we have yet another inhuman lost in the goddamn woods.
Medusa's trying so hard to get everybody together. And fucking Karnak's just like, you know what? I'm going to be a pot farmer.
She's saddled with all these fucking dum-dums. That's the problem.
Fucking Gorgon. She's like, you know what? I'm going to take these, what I had no idea were actually soldiers, but I'm going to take these guys. I'm going to let them fight for me.
There's such a jump because last time we see them, they're just surfers. And then the next time we see them, they're all holding guns.
That is a very interesting part. So, Jake.
What
would you say is the most turtle-rific part of this episode?
The answer,
for anybody new, turtle-rific is something that carried over from our first show.
When we started, Sky was like, let's talk about this, this, and this, and the only thing we ended up, it all devolved onto what was the most turtle-rific part.
Meaning, what was the best part, or your favorite part?
I don't know, there's not a lot of turtle-rificness that happens.
You laughed the hardest when the dog got hit by an ATV.
I did. So stupid.
Because you think the dog would have moved.
Or the guy wouldn't have hit a damn dog with an ATV. Anyone who owns an ATV has hit a dog with it because ATV owners are weird. I think my family has an ATV.
I can take it on any terrain. It's an all-terrain vehicle.
No, except water.
Well, water's not a terrain.
I guess that's true.
That's how you know.
Smart, Sky. That's smart. Sky, what's your most turtle-rific part?
The most turtle-rific part is Medusa just wandering into a completely million-dollar home.
Yeah, that house is pretty cool. It was a nice house.
It's a lovely home. But there was just a gate in between it and her stealing everything in the house.
Yeah, and, like, she didn't even wait too long for that man to get down the street before running.
No, like... He was probably 20 feet away when she snuck through the gate.
All he had to do was glance up at his rearview mirror to see her running through her gate. His gate. I mean, maybe it's a very nice neighborhood and the gate's just for show.
Could be. But they did have a thief, and she went through and stole some food and a roll of cash and...
Wasn't there a lot more soup in this cabinet when I left? Oh shit, my pants are gone.
My favorite jeans.
Oh no, my roll of hundreds is gone.
Yeah, there's no way of knowing how much money she stole.
No one keeps dollar bills rolled up like that, though, so...
I also really enjoy that Karnak is just decided to... That he's done and he's going to be a pot farmer.
And yeah, that's pretty cool.
It's hilarious. And these pot farmers are just ridiculous.
As people from Illinois, we know so many people who are going to leave here and open up a dispensary in Colorado. So, you know, mad respect for Karnak.
It's way more difficult than you'd expect.
That's why they all come back.
Yep. It's hard. There's a lot of regulation. Who is the most likable character?
Sammy.
Sammy?
Yeah. I knew that one. I've been waiting.
I'm glad that Crystal finally did a thing.
That's true. She
she actually used her powers
yeah.
in a way that was productive.
Yeah.
Good for
her.
She
woke up a dog.
She did.
She threw some guns.
Yeah, that's two. That's two.
That's two things.
That's two more than the previous two episodes.
She also froze a door.
Yeah. So, there's that.
Good job, Crystal.
Yeah.
You get an A+ for episode 3. Keep it up.
Everybody else is just cruising at a C average.
Yeah. At best.
I was being generous.
Medusa's B brings the other D's up.
Medusa's trying so hard.
She's an alright character, but if, you know, she had her powers in this show about people who have powers.
If anyone had their fucking powers, well, I guess it's just Karnak and her.
Yeah, but that's still, I mean, there's, what, five? There are five of the Inhuman Royal Court, and two of them don't have their power.
And Max, so, but his power is not having powers, which sucks. That super sucks.
And Gorgon's powers are just stomping.
And being half bull or something.
Yeah, having goofy feet.
That fit into boots really well.
I mean, you could just jam those into a boot and stuff the end with a newspaper and you got it.
Yeah, but he's got, like, the weird horse angle.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
It's weird.
They're magic boots. Magic inhuman boots passed down from generation to generation.
You brought them from the moon.
They're moon boots. That's why he's so bouncy. Sorry. Remember those?
No. I knew they existed. I never had any.
They were fun for a few minutes. Unless you're a fat kid, and then they didn't work super well.
Another peek into your childhood.
My depression. than a proper moon shoes. Anyway.
Anyway, that's Inhumans 3.
Episode
Divide
3.
And Conquer. Next week we'll be watching episode number 4.
It has a good name. Hold on. Make way for Medusa.
That's really it?
Yeah, that's how it... But oh. it's stylized like that. Like, make way for ...
Medusa. Ooh, there's an ellipses.
Yeah, ellipses. That's the word
that's for sexy. It. Sexy. I bet it'll probably be of the same caliber.
There's a thumbnail for a future episode where everyone is dressed in human clothes, and Karnak does have a hoodie.
Oh, good. You can follow the show.
Where?
At Failed Pop Culture with no E at the end.
He tried real hard to remember that.
You threw me for a sec. You can email the show at popculturefailure@gmail.com. You can follow me at Sandwich Surplus on Twitters.
Yay! Or Jake, me, at Midwest Love Affair on Twitter.
If you wanted to leave us a rating and or review, that would be great. I'm sorry about the audio lately. I don't know,
Sky's,
computer's been weird.
Sky's really bad at it, and I yell at him all the time.
I had it okay for a real long time, and all of a sudden the settings are weird. I'm figuring it out, though.
He's not. He's not doing anything. He's just, what he does is he just takes the audio file and he just uploads it. Yeah. I sing that song
no
that
editing
he puts on there. He plays the banjo during it. It takes a lot of practice, but we got to that.
Yeah, I actually have to play two different instruments at the same time to accomplish it.
So. I have a drum strapped to my back.
You know Bert and...
Ernie?
No, Bert from Mary Poppins.
He's wearing, Dick Van Dyke.
Yeah, he's wearing a band. It's that. Less dancing.
Or more dancing.
Depends on your perspective.
It's the second time you play it is there's more dancing. The first time there's less dancing.
That's right. But anyway, we'll see you guys next week with, what was the episode?
Make way for...
Medusa. Right.
Medusa.
Cool. Thanks very much for listening. We'll see you next week.
See ya later, everyone. Goodbye.
Bye. I'm only human after all. Don't put the blame on me. Don't put the blame on me. I'm only human. I do what I can. I'm just a man, I do what I can. Don't put the blame on me. Don't put your blame on me.
Check, check, check. Checking the microphone.
You're just still
How do my levels look okay? I just have to talk louder.
Yeah, there you go.
It's harder for me to do that.
Talk like a person.
It's not my normal tone of voice.
I'm talking so quiet, mine are still bigger than yours.
I talk soft.
Well, stop it. This is not the medium for that. If you are a podcast guy, you don't get to talk soft.
That's why I got microphones.
This is called Pop Culture Failure.
Yes.
Good gravy, that's gross.
Yeah, I still have a cough.
You always have a cough. I don't know what you sound like without a cough.
Happier?
I don't know what you sound like happy.
That's fair.
Just melancholy, constantly.
That's just how I sound.
Constant melancholy.
Melancholy?
Melancholy. There's a dog in there made of fruit.